This is an In It For The Kicks exclusive.
Tali makes a welcomed return to In It For The Kicks, coming off the back of releasing her fifth studio album, Wolves. A strong song-driven treasury of tracks, Tali went in deep about the making of her album and her love for animals.
So this is your fourth?
This is my fifth studio album.
Fifth studio.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably my fourth in terms of albums that I rate as albums. There was one in there that I did, which was kind of like a mixtape. But if we're counting, you know, songs recorded in studios, this is my fifth studio album, yeah.
And what's different about Wolves compared to your last one, which was Of Things to Come?
Yep, correct. This one is completely self-produced. So unlike other albums in the past where I've worked with other producers and had them either supply me with beats or kind of work to spec, I guess Of Things to Come was working to spec. Like I sort of would say to the producer that I was working with, which was just one guy, Christoph Bauschinger, I'd be like, oh, I kind of want to do a tune in this vein, and he'd make me something. But with this album, it's completely whatever I've felt I wanted to make on the spot there and then. And obviously I'm not known for production, so this is kind of venturing into new territory for other people, although I have produced music in the past, just not in this particular way. So it's pretty exciting, a little bit scary.
Well, it's only been out a very short amount of time, but how's the reception been?
The reception's been really good, and I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, because I mean, I'm proud of it, and I guess it doesn't matter what anyone would think about it, because the whole thing for me was about the process rather than the end result. I really focused on giving each song the time and love that it needed, and if things went right, going back in and not rushing anything and not worrying about the end result. Am I making an album? Are people going to like this? Would this get signed? Would it make it into the charts? Forgetting all about that real ego-driven stuff and just focusing very much on the organic spiritual side of it, which is creating a piece of music that you love and you're happy with. So I'm really pleased with it, but of course it's always awesome when the feedback is positive, because it kind of reinforces what you feel you already know or feel about your work. And it's been good, because not only has it the reception been good from obviously friends and family and people who would give me genuine honest feedback, but from my peers. So in drum and bass and in other musical genres. So I had this really amazing text from Anika Moore, for example, which was just like, F-U-C-K, girl, I love your new album. You're so, so clever. It's brilliant. I love it. Just really gushy and awesome, and totally made me like, oh. And then Aaron Talkiner called me today from Ahori Buzz to tell me that he was really proud of me, and he loved the music, and to give me a pep talk and kind of remind me, you know, to stay on my path. It's so cool. Like, I feel like I'm surrounded by really awesome, supportive musicians in this country. I mean, there's dicks for sure, but there's mostly in my realm of colleagues and peers, really great people. And then people like Eavesdrop, who's a drum and bass producer, he was bigging it up and saying that he thought that, you know, the production was especially good. And also A-Sides, who's a UK drum and bass producer, he heard it. So to have people from, you know, various different genres say they're feeling it, it's definitely validating for me, yeah. It's definitely the genre for me, I would say it's like cinematic soul, or gangster jazz meets gangster jazz. That's like a genre that I made up last year, because cinematic soul to me sort of embodies really like moody atmospheric vibes, lots of crackles and dirty layers, but soul, anything that sort of evokes emotion and that speaks from your soul, which I always try to do as a songwriter. And when I say gangster jazz, it's like the gangster is like you know, like the hip hop beats, but that sounds really stereotypical. But yeah, hip hop beats, a little bit of swag and bravado on certain songs, not so much from a personal point of view, but kind of like third person point of view. And jazz is, there's definitely elements of jazz in my voice. I know I'm quite known for having these sort of trills that I sort of tend to sing in. That was pointed out to me a couple of years ago, actually, in the UK, which I hadn't really really been aware of, but I guess listening to a lot of jazz, I do tend to sing like that, which is funny because I never listened to jazz growing up. So, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, cinematic soul meets gangster jazz. And, you know, I guess it's very much influenced by who I was listening to at the time as well, which was a lot of really old Wu-Tang Clan, really early Wu-Tang Clan, because I feel like I listen to a lot of radio stations and music, and especially electronic music, it's very overproduced. It's overproduced to the point where it's almost soulless, and it just sounds like it was made completely for the radio or completely for a rave, rather than telling me anything about the artists themselves. And I really love the rawness, that really dirty, raw, this is us kind of vibe that Wu-Tang Clan has, that they were making no excuses and no apologies and just making music that sounded like it was being recorded in some basement in a yard in Brooklyn, you know what I mean? And I was also listening to Gravediggers as well, which kind of has a bit of that flavour also. And at the same time, I was listening to Little Dragon, and I love that really dreamy layering of contemporary electronica, filtered out vocals and lots of variations between really strong voice and really soft voice. So a culmination of all those things. So with this album, the first single that I released was Forces, and that's a song that kind of touches on the destructive nature of love. I mean, love can be really amazing and uplifting and incredible and powerful, but it can also be really destructive and heartbreaking and pure torment. So Forces is the kind of that kind of vibe, and we shot a really amazing music video for that out at Bethel's Beach with a GoPro drone zooming around my head. It's probably one of my favourite videos I've ever shot, actually. And that was followed by Faster Than Sound, which is a kind of my take on a bit of a Bonnie and Clyde, Romeo and Juliet sort of love story, but very modern, contemporary vibes. And I had a music video for that as well, and that was shot by the same guy who shot Forces, Ben from Sideways Productions. Did an amazing job. We had a couple of actors in that pretending to be runaway lovers. And the latest single is Wolves, and Wolves came out a couple of weeks ago. And Wolves has got a very raggo video. I shot it with no budget, and I wanted it to definitely have that feel. I was influenced by early 90s hip-hop videos. I was watching a lot of like Naughty by Nature videos around that time, and I just thought, man, I just want to make something that's really quite hard. And because Forces is quite a pretty, sexy, like romantic video, I wanted to do something that was complete opposite of that. And it sort of progresses from Forces to Faster Than Sound. By the time you get to Wolves, I'm like full braided up here, massive gold earrings, Adidas jacket, you know, just totally completely the opposite to Forces. And the idea behind Wolves is that I've got these two girls, and one of them is carrying like a baseball bat, and one of them is carrying a crowbar, and they're wearing masks, wolf masks. And there's this kind of ominous, sort of threatening vibe behind them. But you don't actually see them doing anything destructive. The feeling is just there. So it's kind of a metaphor for when we're rolling in our packs, our crews, our packs of wolves, you know, that feeling that we're badasses and we could take on the world, you know. And that's especially how I feel when I'm like rolling with a crew of chicks. We're just like, yeah, invincible. So that was sort of the vibe behind Wolves. And of course, that's the title track to the album.
If I can, I'd like to touch on the song that means the most to you, and maybe why.
Well, you know what? They all mean a lot to me. And each one of these tunes, none of these tunes is a filler. Every single one of these tunes has earned their place on this album, and each one of them has something important and essential to say. And in particular, In the Darkness is a song that definitely has quite a deep, dark meaning behind it. In the Darkness was written after, I'm for animal rights, and In the Darkness touches on the idea of animals being kept in the dark and never seeing the light, and it's sung from the animal's point of view, which kind of sounds weird, but when you listen, I mean, when I first wrote it, like when I recorded it, I remember actually bringing myself to tears, and that sounds quite egotistical and self-indulgent, but it wasn't, oh, I'm bringing myself to tears. It was the nature of what I was singing about, trying to put myself in the shoes of these tiny baby calves that are taken from their mothers and put into the darkness, and they never see them again, and they live out their very short lives purely for the indulgence and greed of humans. And there's a line in there that is that says, I hope it makes you happy that I'll never see the sun, because your need and your greed, you know, basically drives you to do this. And I guess a lot of people will listen to that and they won't understand the meaning without me telling you. You're the first person I've told what that what the meaning is behind that song, and it probably has the most direct, dark, sad kind of meaning behind it, but it means a lot to me because I really love and respect animals. I don't eat them, and I am definitely not an advocate of abusing them or mistreating them in any way. So yeah. So, you know, my full-time job for the last 15 years has been music. Obviously I've dabbled in other little things, but everything that I do is always music based, whether it was composing a musical score for a political comedy that showed on the West End in the UK, I did that, to doing like voiceover for TV and commercials. You know, like, I know that's not music based, but it still involves going into a studio and standing in front of a mic, which I really seem to like. But I think after spending so long also being an artist and being a front person, I really, and working on this whole idea of, you know, just stepping outside of my ego and trying to think about ways that I can leave a legacy other than music. And I am a trained teacher, so I felt like with that, with combined with all the experience that I've had in the music industry here and abroad, I really wanted to help other artists find basically a one-stop shop where they could go to and they could learn the skills, like how to write a song, how to record their own music, how to market themselves and their brand, how to just write a press copy, how to write a bio, you know, like what makes a good press photo, like all these sort of avenues that you've got to go to different places and sort of ask different people. And I sort of thought, well, what if they come to me and they ask me these questions and I'm able to provide the answers, then, you know, maybe I should start a business for that. So I started Shepherd Artist Development, which is the idea of helping artists develop. Yeah, it's basically building bridges between artists and the music industry. So it's not so much managing or being an agent or anything like that, but it's telling them who to talk to, hooking them up with producers, showing them how to write, you know, lyrics or refine the songs that they've already got, and also how to represent their brand, you know, so just in the way they present themselves, like what sort of image are you wanting to portray, who's going to be your target audience, things that they never ask themselves, because as artists we have this dream, you know, and we're focusing so much on the dream that we forget to look at the business side of things. And obviously the business side of things involves finance as well, you know, net, but I'm not so great with that, but I definitely advise people to keep an eye on their finances and where they're putting their money and stuff like that. But more just the business side of things, like is this opportunity going to be good for my brand, or am I taking this opportunity because it's a quick buck? Sometimes taking an opportunity that's a quick buck can actually be a good thing, but you need to learn to identify what is beneficial to your brand and what isn't beneficial to your brand, what is beneficial to your mental and physical state, and what is going to absolutely wear you out and exhaust you and make you crazy. And nobody ever really gave me this advice. This is something I just discovered myself the hard way. I mean, there was definitely people there who put their 2 cents in along the way. I had a manager, of course, and, you know, we had tour managers and things, but they were often men as well. And I definitely think that being a young woman in this industry can be really daunting. And so I just put myself out there. Whether people want to come and they want to pay $60 a session, because that's what I charge a session, they come in and we talk about what they want to do and then we break it all down and then we set a plan in action. Or if they just want to hit me up on an email and ask me a couple of questions, and I'm happy to do that too. So that's something that I've got into more and more and more, and which I really love. I really enjoy seeing the fruits of my labour develop. These young women go out there and have the confidence to do what they need to, and young men as well. Like, I've started having guys come into the studio. I had a rapper in there today who I was advising. And not only that, I started New Zealand's first ever Woman in Electronic Music Workshop, which I put together and directed and tutored at in December of last year. And I had five of New Zealand's most experienced in the industry teaching how to manage your brand, lyric writing, DJing, production and engineering. So we just touched on all these five things. And they were, it was all taught by women, and it was for all women. And our oldest woman was 43 and our youngest woman was 18. So a really nice cross-section of people from all different backgrounds as well and different cultures. And we're so successful that we're going to do another one in August in Wellington. And then we're going to hopefully take it down south and bring it back to Auckland towards summertime. And I'm very lucky because Massey University are supporting this. Massey University are introducing a new paper next year, a contemporary music paper. And they have come to me for a lot of feedback about how to get more women on their courses, because the general consensus is, while there are music courses out there, such as Mains, SAE, that the general consensus is that perhaps these aren't, they're not targeting women as well as they could. Or their teaching methods are just more just general teaching methods, whereas in my experience as being a teacher and a woman, we learn differently to guys. And so you need to come into a classroom armed with different ways of teaching rather than just one way of teaching and expect everybody to understand that. So yeah, Massey are doing this contemporary music paper next year, and by giving me the support and asking me for advice and bringing me into the meetings and potentially taking me on as a tutor next year as well, which would be a fantastic opportunity and which I'm really keen to do. We're hoping that these women in electronic music workshops are going to be able to say to these young women, if you like this, come to Massey. There is a place for you. You will be taught in a style that is comfortable. You will be in an environment where you feel safe and unintimidated. Yeah. So that's all the stuff I'm kind of working on at the moment, as well as, you know, being a drummer bass MC and a singer-songwriter and writing a book as well, because I haven't got enough to do. So I'm hoping, I mean, I've just done three tour dates around New Zealand, Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, and I'm doing one in Mount Maunganui also, but I'm hoping that those were just really tentative little tours, just to celebrate the release really. But I'm hoping that if more and more people like it, then perhaps I will get booked to play more gigs. And obviously I'm always on the hustle to do live gigs, because even though I enjoy emceeing and that's my bread and butter, I've been doing it for years and years and years, and to be able to get out there and play solo and play on the keys is really exciting for me and empowering as well. But as well as that, I'm going to Europe in June. I'm doing a Soulside Sessions tour with Emma G, who I collaborate with on these mixes that we do between London and New Zealand, and we're playing a few dates over there. But I'm also going to spend some time in Berlin. I'm going to busk. I'm going to take my keyboard and put batteries in it, and my guitarist lives in Berlin now, so we're going to go on the street, and we've got this really nice amp, and we're just going to jam and busk. There's these squares where artists just rotate all day and like sit in the sunshine, and they help sell each other's records and stuff. So that sounds like a bit of fun. I used to busk, so I'm going back to my grassroots, and I'm going to see if it can kind of inspire me and stir up any new sort of ideas and emotions, because, you know, you're constantly looking for new ways to be inspired and new ways to be challenged, and the best way to do that is to take yourself out of the zone that you're familiar with and which is deemed safe, and put yourself into challenging positions. So, you know, going to a German speaking country and standing on the street and busking, I thought that would be fun. Also playing a couple of gigs over there in some little clubs and just see how that goes. And of course I've got these the idea for another Woman in Electronic Music Workshop, which I'm hoping to do in August. And I thought maybe for fun I might even do a drum and bass EP this year. Just for fun, I don't know. But don't quote me on that, because, you know, I really need to finish my book. My God, I'm writing two books at the moment. One is a piece of short fiction. The other is an autobiography, kind of based on my experiences as a female MC. But the short fiction is almost finished, so I really want to finish that this year. My mother's also writing a book, but hers is kind of more a resource art book because she's an artist. So we're both trying to like, come on, encourage each other to finish our books at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, so thanks very much for having me up here. And, of course, the new album, Wolves, is available on iTunes right now and in all good record stores. And if you're an international listener, if you're listening to this online, you can also get it on iTunes or Amazon Music internationally. And you can follow me on facebook.com/TaliOfficial, on Instagram, MCTaliOfficial, and on Twitter, Tali, the first 1ST lady. Kia ora.
The first ever electronic music show on Hauraki. This is In It For The Kicks, 10 till midnight Friday nights. Radio Hauraki.